The Record on KUOW. I'm Marcy Silman.
And I'm David Hyde. And our guest today says early humans mated with Neanderthals, and he's got proof. It's in the DNA. Svante Paabo is a biologist originally from Sweden. He directs the genetics department at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany. His new book is called Neanderthal Man, In Search of Lost Genomes. He started out the interview explaining why he likes to say all humans are African.
What you will find is that in Africa we have most genetic variation. And all the variation outside Africa, although there are almost 10 times more people living outside Africa than inside Africa, is a subset of the variation in Africa. So the interpretation of that is that sometime in the past, and rather recently actually, about 100,000 years ago or more recently, a part of the population in Africa went out and colonized the rest of the world.
And they met Neanderthals. Who were the Neanderthals?
Well, so yes, when our direct ancestors then came out of Africa, they met Neanderthals in Europe and Western Asia. And these were sort of a closely related form of humans that lived there since at least 300,000 years and that became extinct something around 30,000 years ago, probably in connection with the appearance of fully modern humans.
And how do scientists know that Neanderthals and early humans, these early human ancestors to us, met?
Well, we know archaeologically that we overlapped in time. For example, in the Middle East, the very earliest modern humans go back to about 100,000 years ago, and the last Neanderthals are there 40,000 years ago. If one really lived side to side, one didn't know, and if one mixed with each other and had babies together, was also not known until quite recently when we were able to study the genome of Neanderthals.
And what were you able to discover?
Well, so what we then found in 2010 when we analyzed for the first time the DNA, the genome of Neanderthals, was that if you look in people living outside Africa today who have their ancestry outside Africa, so Europeans and Asians, a tiny part of the DNA of people today, such as me or you, come from Neanderthals, about 1 or 2%.
What does that mean, to say that we've got 1 or 2%? You know, when I think about humans having 2% or 2.5% Neanderthal, I just think Arnold Schwarzenegger or something like that. But you're a scientist. You've got a more serious explanation or answer to that question, probably.
Well, what it really indicates is that our ancestors, when they came out of Africa, had babies together with Neanderthals, and those babies were integrated into the modern human society and in turn had children that contributed to ancestors of people living today.
And how does that affect how you think about what it means to be a modern human then, as a scientist?
Well, as a scientist or as a human being, I would say it's sort of interesting to me that we didn't just kill off or replace these earlier forms. They live on a little bit. They are not totally extinct. They live on in some of us today.
Let me rewind then, ask this question. What was the story that scientists used to tell about Neanderthals, and how has the story changed as a result of this new research?
Well, so since about 30 years, there was a fierce debate in paleontology about those people that thought that modern humans came out of Africa and replaced Neanderthals without mixing with them at all, and those that saw continuity from Neanderthals, for example, to present-day Europeans. And what the genome showed was that the answer is somewhere in between. Modern humans, when they came out of Africa, mixed with Neanderthals. But not only in Europe, actually. We find this Neanderthal contribution also in China, in Papua New Guinea, in areas where there have never been Neanderthals. So the implication is that those modern humans that came out of Africa and met Neanderthals, presumably in the Middle East, mixed with them, and they then went on to become the ancestors of everybody outside Africa.
What other kinds of early humans were wandering around back then?
So we know now that there existed relatives, sort of rather distant relatives to Neanderthals in Asia. Because in 2008, one found a tiny little bone in a cave in Siberia, a part of the pinky of a girl, from which we were able to sequence a genome also, and could show that this was a group related to Neanderthals in Asia. And they have also contributed to present-day people. and actually out in Oceania, so in Papua New Guinea, in Fiji, Aboriginal Australians, and so on. So there were at least two groups, and we actually know a third group, this Homo floresiensis, the hobbits in Indonesia. Probably there were also other forms there that are yet to be discovered.
Mm. Svante Paabo's book is Neanderthal Man in Search of Lost Genomes. I was looking at your book with my 7-year-old son last night, and we were talking about whether or not the word is pronounced Neanderthal or Neanderthal. What's the answer to that question?
Well, I think the traditional spelling is with an H, so Neanderthal. But that is sort of spelling that one left in Europe or in Germany, where this is located, something like 100 years ago. So I tend to not use age, but in English, one certainly still does.
So I'm safe with Neanderthal, it sounds like.
Yes, yourself with both.
The other question that he and I had, or I sort of had for him in talking about the book, is what's the implications of this work when you think about humanity?
So I think what really excites me is the fact that we now have the full genome, or essentially full genome, of our very closest extinct relative, the Neanderthals. So we can look at all those genetic changes that everybody today have in common, yet Neanderthals look like the apes. So we have, if you like, the genetic recipe for being a fully modern human. Mm. And that list is not very long. In our genome of 3 billion base pairs, it's around 30,000 changes only. So we can now begin to sift through those changes and try to find the crucial ones, perhaps the ones that are behind the fact that modern humans, and not Neanderthals, went on to increase their size from perhaps 1 million individuals to 7 billion today, and develop technology and a culture that allowed us to spread across a whole globe and come to a point today where we influence most of the biosphere.
Hmm. Let me ask a final question. What are some of the implications of this work potentially for future scientific endeavors, let's say cancer research or other questions about human health?
Well, of course, we are driven in our research by curiosity about our past and what set humans on this very special path that we discussed. However, as a sort of byproduct of this might come insights. There are, for example, reasonable hypotheses that suggest that autism is a disease that would affect something that's typical for modern human cognition, our great sociality that we... When I look at you, I sort of try to imagine what you think about what I say, and that puts me in a position to lie and start politics and create big societies, things that Neanderthals never did. So if we understood the genetic changes that made all this possible, we might also understand or get a new inroad into understanding things like autism, but as a byproduct, or if you like, unexpected byproduct from what we do.
Svante Paabo is a biologist at the Max Planck Institute. His book is Neanderthal Man in Search of Lost Genomes. You're listening to The Record.